From Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, New York, I'm Amber Smith. This is HealthLink on Air. Today, we're exploring the importance of exercise, specifically strength training, for older adults with Carol Sames, who is with me in the HealthLink on Air studio. Dr. Sames is an associate professor at Upstate in the College of Health Professions, teaching students in physical therapy and physician assistant studies. She's also the director of the Vitality Fitness Program. Welcome back to HealthLink on Air, Dr. Sames.
Thank you so much, Amber.
Now, let's start by reviewing the fitness guidelines for older adults. And by older, do we mean 60s, 50s, 70s? What?
Technically over the age of 65. However, okay. You know, you can find individuals that are younger that certainly need
qualify for
older adult guidelines.
So what do the guidelines say? How much exercise do we need?
So if we look at cardiovascular exercise, the minimum is 150 minutes a week of moderate activity, or 75 minutes per week of more vigorous activity. We also know that there's a dose effect, so that if you go up to 300 minutes of moderate or 150 minutes of vigorous activity per week, you get even additional health benefits.
So more is better.
More up
to a degree.
Point. Correct, okay. Yes. Then also strengthening exercises 2 times a week. Multi-component activity, which is including balance activities, is also included. So those are the general guidelines.
Now, you said cardiovascular. Is that the same as aerobic?
Yes, okay. Correct.
So what counts as aerobic activities or cardiovascular activities?
Anything that's continuous activity. So we have the more traditional activities such as walking. That's usually the number one. We could say biking or swimming or water aerobics. All the different kind of, when you go to maybe a healthcare facility, a gym, you see all these different types of equipment. But then it could also be things like dancing or gardening or mowing the lawn, but not on your John Deere. You know, things that are more continuous. So it doesn't have to be traditional types of exercise. Cleaning the house, I don't really like to do it, but if it's continuous, that can count as cardiovascular.
Vacuuming, as long as you're moving.
Right, continuous movement.
So with the guidelines that you gave us, do you do it all in one day, or do you spread it out throughout the week, or does it matter?
It does actually matter. We don't want people to be what we call weekend warriors. Spread out over a minimum of 3 days per week, but actually it's preferable as we get older for more days per week, so 5 days per week. The guidelines are stressing the absolute importance of reducing sedentary behavior, which we know is on the rise.
Now, you mentioned walking, and you know, some people may not think of that as exercise. Is there a benefit if you're a walker?
Absolutely. In fact, it is really the number one aerobic activity. If you think about it, most of us get around by walking. It's easy. Even if I can't go outside, say it's pouring rain, I don't want to walk outside, I could walk where I live. I could walk laps. So walking really translates well to what we do in everyday life. And also it's fairly inexpensive. We don't need a lot of space. It's convenient. We might have to be flexible depending on the weather, but you get great benefits from walking.
Get a nice pair of shoes, comfortable pair of shoes, and you're kind of set.
Yes.
Okay. Now, why is strength training sort of carved out in these guidelines? It's also mentioned. Why is that set aside like that?
It's actually been in the guidelines for a number of years, but aerobic or cardiovascular exercise has kind of gotten the top bill because we associate it with a reduction in the risk of cardiovascular disease, heart attack, stroke. However, if you think about the body, we need muscle to move. And so if I do want to walk, I do have to have a certain amount of strength in my core and lower extremities in order to walk. And so strengthening is extraordinarily important, and it becomes even more important as we get older because there are some physiological processes where we do start to lose some muscle. But it's so important to do strength training. And again, we really want to emphasize that as we move into adulthood and older adulthood.
So when you say strength training, it makes me think of weightlifting. Is that pretty much it?
Well, that could be a form that you could take, but it could also be body weight exercises. So I'm doing push-ups against the wall, or if I'm strong enough on the ground or on my knees, I'm doing mini squats against the wall. I use TheraBands or TheraTubes, or some forms of yoga also are strength training. I might want to, if I'm a walker, walk hills, uphill and downhill, and that's a form of strength training. I could use stairs. That could also be strength training. I could do multiple sits to stands out of a chair if I'm a little bit more deconditioned, and that could be strength training. So strength training doesn't have to be equipment and gyms, and there are so many things out there on the internet that can show you things where you need a wall and a chair and you don't really need anything else.
So talk to me about some aerobic activities that also strengthen muscles.
Okay.
Are there some?
Well, certainly, if you're really deconditioned, if we have somebody who really, maybe they're coming off of surgery or an injury, or they just really haven't participated in consistent exercise, just doing cardiorespiratory activity could be strength training for them. But one of the things that we like to do in Vitality, or that can be done, is circuit training, where we might do something that's cardiovascular. So we might have somebody walk for X number of minutes, and then that's followed by some upper body strengthening, and then we do some lower body strengthening, and then we go back to walking for a few minutes. So it's set up as a circuit. Also, some types of yoga can be both strengthening and, if it's continuous, cardiovascular.
Okay. Now, where does balance training fit into all of this? Because I've heard that's particularly important for seniors, too.
Correct. And that's that multi-component type of exercise that is listed in the guidelines. So balance training can be a combination of strengthening and specific balance activities. You can make that also multidimensional and throw that into your aerobic fitness. We know that as individuals get older, there's a risk for falls. And so strength is very important in reduction of falls. Fitness or endurance activities are also important. So I could do things where I'm walking and then I stop and I do some tightrope walking, or I do some marching where I'm standing on one leg. Now, of course, it would all be dependent on me personally and where I'm at. I might want to do that up against a wall if I felt that I was concerned about my balance. But balance activities are very important. And we like to stress more dynamic balance, so moving balance, because when you look at individuals in falls, the falls generally occur when people are moving, not stationary. If it's stationary, sometimes it's a fracture and then they fall, or it's just a lack of strength and endurance and they just get tired and they fall.
What about flexibility?
So flexibility is important in that we need flexibility. We need joints to move if we actually want to move. And so flexibility should be included in terms of making sure that I have proper range of motion of my joints so that I can then perform my physical activity or my just activities of daily living. You know, if I have cabinets, I need to put dishes away. I need to be able to get those dishes in those upper cabinets or lower cabinets. And so flexibility, doing some stretching, it certainly does help. We know that we used to think that flexibility was injury prevention, and the research really doesn't quite bear that out. But we know that consistent intervention, stretching over time, can increase flexibility. And we want to make sure that our joints do have full range of motion.
You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm your host, Amber Smith, talking with exercise physiologist Dr. Carol Sames about strength training. Tell me what fitness is actually supposed to do for us, and what it has been proven to be able to do for us.
The big one, first of all, is a reduction in the risk for cardiovascular disease, and that certainly is very strong research. And the reason we talk about cardiovascular disease is it is the number one killer of Americans, adult Americans. And so not only does consistent exercise reduce the risk for cardiovascular disease, so in terms of having a heart attack, stroke, but if I have had a heart attack or I have some type of cardiovascular disease, it reduces the risk of another event. And that's called secondary prevention, and that's incredibly powerful. We know that it can reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes. We know that physical activity is a hallmark in maintaining appropriate blood sugar levels. It reduces the risk of weight gain that we can see as we get older when we start to become less active. Reduces the risk of falls. Physical activity is bone loading, so it can reduce the risk for osteoporosis. Mild to moderate depression, help with sleep, give us the strength, if we go back to strength training again, to be able to perform the activities that we do every day. So the list is very long. Certain types of cancer, breast and colon, were the original, and now we have additional reduction in risk of cancers. Quality of life, we can get into those things that we are more gray. So this whole idea of what is quality of life, the ability to do the activities that I want to do, self-esteem, we can, you know, get into those, what we would call, we have these physiological outcomes, but then we get into all of these behavioral outcomes. And so I think quality of life is just something that's so overlooked, but so important, because it really does give me a sense of I can accomplish this, I feel better. Reduction in fatigue, that's huge, especially if we're talking about chronic diseases. So when we get into the chronic disease family, we certainly know that physical activity, again, is important. This is not just for individuals who are apparently healthy. This is for everyone, because we know that it can help in terms of just we need to move. And sometimes we'll have people that have osteoarthritis come to us and say, oh, it hurts to move. But we try to say it will hurt more to not move, because at some point then you're not going to be able to move.
Everything that you described, if you put that all in a pill, you'd be able to make millions selling that pill, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty amazing all the things that exercise can do. But are there risks too, especially for older people?
So if we think about cardiovascular disease, the risk for all of us increases as we get older. There's more prevalence of cardiovascular disease as we age. So the answer is, if we're looking at older adults and their prevalence of cardiovascular disease is higher, then there is a slight increase in terms of risk. But the risk is far greater to not be active. And so if we look at the nurse's health study and the physician's health study, for men, there was sudden cardiac death every 1.5 million episodes of vigorous activity, so not moderate, but vigorous, and for women every 36.5 million hours of moderate to vigorous physical activity. So the risk is low. And again, I really want to emphasize that the risk is far greater to not be active.
To not be active.
Absolutely.
Now, what about with seniors in mind, the idea of warming up and cooling down? Is that more important for older people than for younger?
Well, I think when you're younger, you certainly can get away with a lot, a little bit easier. In terms of warm-up is important, because if I just get up and go, first of all, my heart rate isn't increased, my blood pressure isn't increased, I don't have blood flow to the working muscles. And so if you just get up and go and you don't have blood flow in those areas, you have that heavy, like, I feel terrible feeling. But if I do a warm-up, maybe if I'm walking, I just start out walking slow, and that's my warm-up. I get blood flow to the working muscles, I get my heart rate up, I get my blood pressure up. You know, we need to have proper circulation, because we need to have oxygen being delivered to the working muscles. And so warm-up really prepares us for exercise.
The person who hasn't been very active and now they find themselves a senior citizen, do they need to talk to their physician before they embark on a new regimen?
If they have a chronic disease, it's always good to have that conversation at yearly checkup. And this is what I want to do. And for some individuals, you know, either seeing an exercise physiologist or a physical therapist can help set up a program for them and, you know, kind of give them confidence that what they're doing is appropriate. Really, the guidelines for older adults are to start slow and lower intensity. You know, we don't magically become fit, because there doesn't exist that pill that you were previously mentioning. And so really what what increases fitness, what increases strength is consistency. So I just want to start out slow. If I've been inactive, I don't want to just say, I'm going to go for an hour walk. You're going to be not only fatigued, but incredibly sore 24 to 48 hours later. And then you're going to say, wow, this isn't worth it. But if I start slow, if I start with 5 minute increments, where can I start? And I just start there and I start to increase, or maybe I do multiple few minutes during the day. That's really the key to consistency, because after 6 to 8 weeks, if you are consistent, you will feel better. I mean, I could say a money back guarantee, but it's physiology. And so it's really important for people to understand that consistency is the key, and to start slower and lower intensity.
This has been great information. Thank you to Dr. Carol Sames. She's an associate professor in the College of Health Professions and the director of the Vitality Fitness Program at Upstate. I'm Amber Smith for Upstate's podcast and talk show, HealthLink on Air.